scriptures are read, songs, and you all can sing them at home on Facebook. Y'all can sing them. Let's remember why. Why are we thankful? So, Lord, we just thank you that you're good, that your character never changes, that your name is faithful and true. And so, Holy Spirit, as your word, as it's played, as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared, we just welcome you here, Holy Spirit, to breathe life, pray encouragement for school districts, that you would bless them, protect our children, protect our families, protect our teachers. Lord, strengthen them, bless them, help them, and sustain them. We pray, Father, Mark Finney is one of those with COVID. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that he's still alive. And Lord, we give you the glory for that. We thank you, Lord, for the small reports of him getting better. And Lord, we just pray you'd finish the work in him. In the name of Jesus Christ, healing to come. We pray, Father, for the Bookstabber family grieving right now. Lord, we just confess your word over them, that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Father, we ask just healing and comfort in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for our governing authorities. Lord, Mayor Alonji, Governor Pritzker, all the way up, Lord, to President Trump, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi. Father, we pray for them because you urge us to. In 1 Timothy, you urge us to pray for our governing authorities. And Lord, we pray that they would be men and women of honor, men and women who fear and honor you. Father, we ask for your mercy and your peace and your protection upon our country. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy. We pray for Bishop Beard, Father, that you would give him wisdom, that you would give him strength. We pray for Stan Irvin, Lord, our district superintendent, that you would bless him and sustain him. Lord, I thank you that you're a God who sees, that you're a God who hears, that you see us, and you hear us. And we bless you and we honor you. We pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for our givers. We pray you'd bless the offering in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless our givers. Give wisdom in the use of it. In Jesus' name, amen. are clothed with your righteousness because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Jesus, that you ever lived to pray for us. Holy Spirit, that you pray for us. You intercede for us. You're interceding for our nation with groans and utterances. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you, and we praise you, and we bless you, and we honor you, that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us, that you'll never leave us, that you will never forsake us. Lord, I thank you for the word that you've given to me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're such a good and beautiful teacher. And Lord, you just drop nuggets that are just brilliant. And Lord, I thank you that you're alive and you speak to us. And so, Lord, come. Help me, Lord, to convey what you shared with me. Lord, I just give you my mouth. I give you my mind. I give you my body. And Lord, just come and speak and teach us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 4, we finally reached the end. And we're in the last two or three verses. I'm going to start with 20, but really going to focus on the last three verses of this book of joy. And Paul wrote this from prison, and we're going to go over some things on Tuesday night. If you are on Facebook, you can join us at 7:30. We'll have I'm going to exhort a little bit some more out of the book of Philippians. But today, the last verses. And he ends this book in a somewhat strange way. And as I have looked at it, he actually ends a lot of his books the way he ends this. And he ends it, and you contrast it to the beginning of his book. And he starts the book, Philippians 1. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, grace and peace to you. That's how he starts. That's his greeting. And yet now look how he ends the book. It's a little bit strange for us. Just see if this strikes you as strange. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Does that strike you as strange? Is anything about that that's weird to you? It's strange that he says greetings at the end, right? You'd think he'd say greetings at the beginning, but he has greetings at the end. He hasn't said that until the end of the book. And I've launched into that word, greet, and it's different than our word hello. I shared with this, I don't remember when, it's the last week or two. But when I went out here in Southern Illinois, we tend to be really friendly, and we wave, I wave, you know, and just do very, just kind of expressive greetings. When I was out east, when I was out there, they don't do that at all. And so I learned the nod. And I would walk on campus, and if that was the greeting. You don't say anything. It's just out east. It's just you do the nod. But this word for greetings, he uses it three times in verse 21 alone. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All of the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. And what does that little word greet mean? It's more than a hello. It's more than just a nod. There is a warmth to that word greet. There's a warmth there. And it can mean hail, like hi. It can mean that, but it's deeper than that. It can mean to be fond of, to be friendly, to welcome. And in the Old Testament, it's used a lot of greet one another peaceably. So there's emotion in it. There is warmth in it. And it's ironic, isn't it, that Paul would would say greet. He's in prison. He can't greet anybody. And yet Paul is saying to these people, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And it's very ironic that this is our first Sunday back in lockdown, where we can't gather together, that Paul would say greet. And I was a little bit concerned about that. I was a little bit talking to the Lord about that. Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to preach? It seems kind of cruel to preach that. But note the irony. Again, Paul can't do that where he is. He is in prison. And so he sends this letter back, and he's exhorting them, greet one another. Be warm with each other. Be encouraging to each other. Be welcoming to one another. And while we cannot do that face-to-face right now, we can do it through technology, through FaceTime, through Skype, through Zoom, we can do that, but it's hard. It's really, really hard. And what is it that, what's the word for us in all of this? The irony applies to us because Paul said that and he couldn't do it. But I want to take that word a little bit on greet and being warm and be encouraging to each other. It was a really big deal for the churches in the first century to hospitality. And part of it was their culture. The culture, the Middle Eastern culture, is incredibly hospitable. Anytime I've gone overseas, in Russia, in Ukraine, in Morocco, they know something about hospitality that we really don't in the States. And they're just so warm. So it's part of their culture, but it's also a part of knowing Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, the writer of Hebrews writes and says, see if I can find it here, Hebrews, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. In 1 Peter 4, 9, Peter says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And so hospitality and just showing that was a really, really, really big deal. And you might be thinking, well, April, I like being hospitable, but I'm not going to be able to have my family here. I'm not going to be able to do that. How in the world does that apply to us? Y'all, think about how we can be welcoming, how we can be kind, how we can be hospitable to other people right now when we can't necessarily touch them, when we can't necessarily hug them. And it struck me as well, again, just this word. And you guys may have done this when you were kids. When I was in youth camp, you know, we'd all joke around about the go back there just to review just a little bit that he went and he ministered in Philippi. He didn't intend to go there. That was not his intent. He did not want to go there. He tried to go to other places, but the Holy Spirit forbade him. But he saw a vision of a Macedonian man saying, come over here and help us. And that was the open door. And they went. And they went. And he ministered. And they got into a whole lot of trouble. Acts chapter 16. He cast the demon out of a girl. And it cost the livelihood of those that had her. And so they got thrown into prison. Acts chapter 16, verse 24. He put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I want to back up just a second. The story of John Wesley. Wesley was a religious man. His parents, his grandparents, he came from good stock, as they would say. He fasted. He prayed. He was religious. He was moral. He did everything right. He went to Georgia to be a missionary. And on the boat, there was a storm. It took 4 months for them to travel from Europe to the United States. 4 months. Can you imagine 4 months on a boat? I would be dead. I get so motion sick. That would kill me. But they're on this boat. And I'm going to get my dates right because I've told stories about Wesley before that were not accurate. So October 14th, 1735. And so they're sailing across the Atlantic. And there's this horrible storm that comes up. And Wesley's terrified. And the Moravians are singing. And he sees peace on them. And he's like, it was like, I don't have that. Like, what is it that they know that I don't know? And so he came over to Georgia. And it was a horrible experience because God had not called him there. And it was horrible. But the Lord was planting seeds. And there was this German preacher that comes up to John Wesley. John Wesley was asking questions, and I don't know German, so I'm going to struggle with this name. Spangenberg. Reverend Spangenberg comes up to John Wesley. He says, my brother, I must first ask you one of two questions. Have you the witness within yourself? Does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? John Wesley writes, I was surprised, and I knew not what to answer. And Mr. Spangenberg noticed it. He said to Wesley, he said, do you know Jesus Christ? I paused and said, I know he is the Savior of the world. True, but do you know he has saved you? I answered, I hope he's died to save me. And he only added, do you know yourself? I said, I do. But I fear they were vain words. And he stays, and it's a miserable experience for him. And coming home, again, there's another storm, and the Moravians just have, they're singing, and they have absolute peace. And Wesley's like, I'm moral, I'm religious, I'm doing everything right, but I don't have that inner witness in my spirit. For 2 years, Spangenberg's question preyed on Wesley's mind. He was not sure of the answer. The efforts to save his own soul only made him more aware of his own sinfulness. For 2 years, he's struggling, and he does not have that inner witness. He doesn't have peace. But then, 1738, May 24th, this is Wesley's words. I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust Christ, Christ alone, for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. I begin to pray with all my might for those who has in a more a special manner despitefully used me and persecuted me. He goes on. But it was at really that moment. He had been a churchman. He had been religious. He had been a missionary. But he didn't know Jesus. And it was at that moment that he trusted in Jesus. That was his salvation experience. And as Wesleyans, as people that are called Methodists, that's one of the major tenets of who we are, is that assurance and the warmth of the Holy Spirit. And knowing that, not just out there, but it's inward. We know that. We know that. And Paul and Silas are in prison like the Moravians, and they're singing in the midst of their pain, in the midst of all of that, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Their witness in joy, their witness in peace, their witness in power was a testimony to that Philippian jailer. And he became a Christian. He believed in God. And you come back over to Philippians 4, and Paul is saying, greet. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Paul had been in prison, but what had he been doing? He had been sharing about Jesus. And I'm sure his countenance, I'm sure he was singing songs, but he also shared about Jesus. And in this dark world, in this anxious time, how can we be lights of Jesus Christ? How can we greet one another? How can we be hospitable to one another? It matters how we treat each other. When you go to the store, people are being so rude right now. And people need love. They need comfort. They need peace. And they need that. And how are they going to get that if not through us? Except through God's people. Greet one another. Be kind to one another. John chapter 13, John writes, he said, it's by our love for each other, that the world is going to know. Greet one another. As I meditated and prayed on that little word greet, the warmth of that, the comfort of that, the wanting to be hugged. Some of you may be wanting to be hugged. Just want to be held. I was texting a friend this week, and you ever have this happen? The Lord will just give you something that kind of just stumbles out of your mouth. And I just wrote, without even thinking about it, surround sound, Holy Spirit. Surround sound, Holy Spirit. And as I meditated on that and thought about that, that is so what the Holy Spirit is. He is a promise. He is a gift. And Jesus said that the disciples are sad. He tells them, "I'm going to go away." And the disciples are sad. And he says, "It's better if I go away, because the Father will send the Holy Spirit." And you all, he is a comforter. That's who he is. That's one of his names, is Holy Comforter. His name is Paraclete. A Paraclete is the one that comes alongside, surround sound. He's the one that draws us to Jesus. He's the one that convicts us of sin. And as I've meditated on that little word greet, you know who he is? The Holy Spirit. He's a greeter. He's the one that introduces us to Jesus. He's the one that introduces us to the Father. He's the one that draws. And he says, "Come, come. Jesus loves you. He died for you." He reveals Jesus to us. He reveals the heart of the Father to us. He is the greeter. He is the one. And as much as we need to greet and we need to encourage, it's the Holy Spirit doing that through us. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. John Wesley had been people, we were born out of revival. We were born out of a warmth, out of a fire of God. And He wants to do that in you. He wants to do that in us. If you've never had the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, believe in Jesus. Say, Lord, I know about You, but maybe you're like Wesley. Yeah, He's the Savior of the world, but do you know that? Do you know that? There's an inner witness that you can have. And that's what being a Christian is. It's not just name only. It's being born again and having the Spirit of God in you. One of the saddest pictures, and I weep about this occasionally, because it's just such a horrible, sad picture. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. The church at Laodicea thought they had it all going on. They thought they were good. And Jesus comes to them and He says, you know, you're not hot nor cold. You think that you're one way, but really, you're pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The church left Jesus outside. And many Christians leave Him outside. And we don't want Him. We want a name only. We want the culture. But we don't want Jesus. And He wants to come in. He wants to come in. And my exhortation to all of you is that in these days of just maybe feeling sad and maybe feeling overwhelmed and being fearful, there's a comforter. There's the paraclete. The Holy Spirit surround sound. He wants to greet you. He wants to bring you into the presence of Jesus. He wants to bring you close to the Father. He wants to shed abroad the love of Jesus in your heart. He wants to change you from the inside out. But we leave Him and we push Him aside. And He wants to come in. A year ago, I was in Northern California. And those pictures have been popping up on my phone. And usually that's fun when, like, I don't know who does that, Apple or Siri or whoever does that, but those memories will come up. And it came up yesterday, and I was like, stop it. This is making me really sad. But it reminded me of a dream. I don't dream a lot in the Lord, but I had a dream before I went out to Redding, California a year ago. And the end of that dream, I woke up with such a longing in my heart, and I heard it resounding in my mind and in my spirit. I want You to want me. I want You to want me. I want You to want me. And that is the cry of the Father. That is the cry of Jesus. Don't leave Him outside. Don't leave Him outside in this time. Don't leave Him outside. As you're together, whether you're locked down by yourself or with your family or whatever it is, people will start to irritate you. That's just the nature of it. But Lord, what do You want to do in this time? How can we love one another better? How can we honor You in this relationship? And the Lord just keeps telling, He just keeps drawing, April, there's more. There's more about My love. There's more about the comfort. There's more about surround sound, Holy Spirit, and the warmth of His presence that He wants to give to each one of us. Let's reclaim our history, our heritage of Wesleyans, and be Holy Spirit people. You don't have that assurance of Holy Spirit. You can have it today. Just say, Jesus, I want You. I want You. Everything You died to give me, Lord, I receive it. I want You. In all of us, there's an intimacy of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. He wants to come alongside you every day. Let the greeter come in. Let the greeter come in. Let Him love on you. And He wants to be invited. Don't let Him stand outside the door and knock. He wants to come in. We are going to, Rich is going to play, and the Comforter is come. The Comforter is come. The Comforter is come. And He's there. But He likes to be invited in. And let's go deeper in our relationship. I don't know what that is, but that's not being a Christian. Because it's the Spirit of Jesus. And He's a gift. And may we learn to listen to Him, to seek Him, to go deep with Him, to yield to Him. Let's greet one another. Pray about how the Lord wants to do that through you. Pray about how the Lord, and just let Jesus shine through you as we're out and about in the community. Because people are anxious. And they're afraid. And they're lonely. relationship with you. May we truly know you as who you really are. Emmanuel, God with us, Holy Comforter, Paraclete, all, Lord, Father, all.